see what's in here. And we've been studying about Luke, the man, and what he wrote. And if you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, you'll find that Luke got his information by interviewing eyewitnesses. Luke was a follower of the Apostle Paul, but he wasn't never in Jerusalem until Paul was arrested, and there in, I think it's the 21st chapter of Acts, and Luke was traveling with Paul at that time, and then Paul was held prisoner for 2 years, and he was held prisoner of the Roman Empire. He was held prisoner down in Caesarea, and in that length of time, Luke wasn't arrested. He was still traveling with the Apostle Paul, and he continued to travel with him from that point forward. But during that two-year break, if you will, he got to meet some people in Jerusalem that were eyewitnesses to what took place when Jesus was born, and before Jesus was born, from the time of John the Baptist on. And he wrote a chronology in Scripture. The Holy Ghost inspired him to do that. And he wrote up through the 24 chapters in Luke, from the birth of Christ up to his death and resurrection. And then he continued on in the book of Acts and wrote 28 more chapters of what happened with the saints and the apostles and so forth. And he gave a 52 chapters of chronology of what happened for about 60 plus years in the early Christian church. So one of the things that Luke wrote about was, from an eyewitness account, was what took place in as Jesus was arrested. And no doubt that eyewitness was Peter that he interviewed, maybe a couple others. And so that, our lesson, we are in the 22nd chapter of Luke. We're going to read a few verses. And if you go to Luke 22, this will finish catching us up. And in Luke 22, we find the time of the Last Supper, the Passover that Jesus ate with his disciples, and later in the evening. In verse 31, we'll start there, Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon," that is Peter, "behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," that means turned around again in the right direction, "strengthen thy brethren." There's a lot of pressure put on Peter to strengthen the brethren here, if you will. And it would take the power of the Holy Ghost in order for Peter to be able to do this. And verse 33, Peter, he said unto him, "Lord," I'm pretty tough, "I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And Jesus, he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Hold your place there in Luke 22 and go back to Matthew 26. And we'll read the Matthew's account of this same time. Matthew 26:33, we'll read through verse 35. Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Thrice means three times. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Note this part. Likewise said all the disciples. So even though we've singled out Peter here in Luke 22, all the disciples agreed with him and said the same thing, that they wouldn't deny Jesus. Now, go back to Luke 22. We'll finish reading here, starting in verse 54. We'll read down through verse 62. The focus of these verses really is upon Peter at the time of Jesus' arrest. And in Luke 22, 54, then they took him here is Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And we talked about afar off, and how close do you want to follow the Lord? Peter followed afar off here. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked up on him and said, This man was also with him. And Peter, he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. That's his first denial. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. That's his second denial. Verse 59, And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, this is the third denial, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times, in other words. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We were talking last week when we ran out of time, it was 2 weeks ago now, that there's a lot of threes associated with Peter. Of course, the most famous of these probably is this three times denying Jesus. But in John 21, you'll find, and we talked about this, Jesus asking Peter after his resurrection, do you love me? Lovest thou me? And this was recorded in John 21, 14, the third time that Jesus showed himself unto his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So you got two threes right there. The third time he appeared unto him. And the three questions he asked Peter. Last week in 1 Corinthians 15, when we were talking about the resurrection there on Easter Sunday, we were talking about Paul's gospel. And in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul writes, For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There's another three. And he was seen then of Cephas and of the 12. So Paul singles out Peter there right off the bat. Okay. And then, of course, Peter, each time the Lord asked him there in John 21, Lovest thou me? He says, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus then three times encouraged him to, first of all, feed my lambs and then to feed my sheep. In order for Peter to feed the sheep, feed God's sheep, they needed the Holy Ghost. And before his death, Jesus had told his disciples three different times concerning the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost, and we went over this last time. You can find this in John chapters 14, 16 through 26, and John 15, 26, and then in John 16, 12 through 15. And then after his resurrection, Jesus again encouraged his disciples on the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost. And Peter was present when Jesus appeared there in John 20, verse 19. And in John 20, 22, Jesus, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," as to emphasize the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost. And then the third encouragement to receive the Holy Ghost is found in Luke 24:49. And we'll start there. And it says there in Luke 24:49, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed him, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And of course, Luke records the rest of this story in Acts 1, verses 4 through 8 or 9. And in Acts 1, 8, Jesus tells his disciples one last time, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So we noted all these encouragements in these points of emphasis from Jesus concerning the Holy Ghost. And it was the power of the Holy Ghost who was the power behind Peter and the other apostles to do the things that they did, and specifically for Peter to be able to feed the sheep of Jesus. And we also noted previously in this study how that Luke recorded six sermons of Peter's that were Holy Ghost inspired sermons. And then so Peter did deny Jesus three times that night, and when Jesus was arrested. But then later, Peter himself, the Lord allowed him to be arrested three times. It's another one of those thrice things we read about Peter. His first arrest is recorded in Acts 4, verses 1 through 22. And in Acts 4, 17 and Acts 4, 21, we find that the same Jewish Sanhedrin that arrested Jesus was still in charge of Annas and Caiaphas. They were still in charge. And they further threatened Peter and the apostles not to speak or preach in Jesus' name. And the second time Peter and the other kingdom apostles were arrested is in Acts 5. And let's go there to Acts 5. And we've read this several times before in this study, but it's really too good not to read again. In Acts 5:12, it says, this was (clears throat) Let's just read what Luke wrote here. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And the high priest, Caiaphas again, rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, these same ones that had arrested Jesus, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. That was the second arrest of Peter and the rest. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man wherein. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And there came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. When the captain with the officers brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Note this, Peter is the one who's speaking, the same guy who denied Jesus, but now he's full of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, who happened to be the teacher of a guy named Saul of Tarsus, a man named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people, and he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. In other words, it'll come to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply or perchance ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. So they followed the leading of the Holy Ghost. The third arrest of Peter is recorded in Acts 12. Turn there. And this time, it wasn't the Sanhedrin council who arrested him, but it was rather Herod the king who had Peter arrested. We read this starting in Acts 12, verse 1. And about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He was one of the apostles. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered unto him four quatrains of soldiers to keep him. Intending after Easter. That's the only mention of Easter in Scripture, but it gives you the time frame when this happened. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Verse 10. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." You can read on there, but that was the third time Peter was arrested. A lot of threes concerning Peter. Sometimes we don't get it the first time. And we're all just like Peter in that regard. One final thought concerning the many triple things or thrice things found in Scripture concerning Peter. And I want you to go to 1 Peter. And this takes us to something that Peter himself mentioned three times in 1 Peter. And these are things concerning the fact of Jesus Christ suffering for us upon the cross. And as Peter writes this, recall that he witnessed some of this firsthand back there in Luke 22. And back there in Luke 22 that we read this morning, verse 54 through 62, the main focus was upon Peter. But now, as Peter writes this, his focus is not on Peter. It's upon the Lord. And so here's what he says. Go to 1 Peter 2. We'll start in verse 20. 1 Peter 2:20. Peter writes, "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Note that point. He'll emphasize it in three different scriptures here in 1 Peter. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Peter witnessed this fact of the Lord when he was on trial. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Peter, feed my sheep. I guess he was, wasn't he? The second time Peter writes about Jesus suffering upon the cross is found in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Turn over to 1 Peter 4. In the third time, Peter emphasizes the fact that Christ Jesus suffered for us upon the cross is found in 1 Peter 4:1. He writes, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So there was a triple emphasis of this in Peter's writing. So what we've just discussed, let's summarize it. On the night of the Last Supper, Peter told the Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and into death. And of course, the rest of the disciples said the same thing. And the next words out of Jesus' mouth were, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. That's in Luke 22:34. And that truly happened, as we read in Luke 22:60, where it says, and immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew in verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We just read some things that Peter thrice went through after this moment. There were three deep, do you love me, Peter questions from Jesus after his resurrection. Three encouragements to feed my sheep in John 21. Three separate occasions before Pentecost where Peter was present as the Lord gave instructions on the importance and benefits of receiving the Holy Ghost. Then we discussed Peter's three arrests after being filled with the Holy Ghost. And it, one thing that we should also note is that it took the power of the Holy Ghost in Peter's life before he was truly equipped to go with the Lord, both into prison and to death, as he so boastfully had stated in Luke 22:33 on the night of the Last Supper. It also took the inspiration of the Holy Ghost for Peter to write his two epistles and to triple emphasize the fact, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, which we read in 1 Peter 3:18. Okay, now, both Matthew in his gospel and Luke in his gospel record the crowing of the rooster, that at that time Peter went out and wept bitterly. Only Luke records what we read in Luke 22:61. And I want you to look at this. As you know, we don't go too fast sometimes. It says, "And the Lord turned as the cock crew, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." And I want you to note two important phrases found in this first part of this first sentence of Luke 22:61. The first phrase is "the Lord turned." This phrase is found seven times in Scripture. That's kind of important to note something that happened seven times in Scripture, because seven is the number pointing to spiritual perfection. And of course, that defines who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. I'll give you a couple of quick examples of where you'll find this phrase, and you can look the other ones up. One's found in Exodus 10. And here we find the Lord turned phrase at the time when the plague of locusts in the land of Egypt was taking place during the contest but with Pharaoh and Moses in Exodus 10. And it was concluded when Moses prayed in Exodus 10:19. "And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea, and there remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt." But it was the Lord who turned this for him. Go to Job 42, the last chapter of Job, and just before Psalms. And we find another "the Lord turned" statement here at the conclusion of the story that we read in Job, that the Lord turned the captivity of Job in 42:10, Job 42:10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So the Lord turned the whole thing around. And if you take the time to read all of the seven "the Lord turned" statements found in Scripture, I think you'll find some divine blessing from the Lord, which takes a little time to fully manifest itself down the road of life, which was the case with Peter. Wasn't Peter a blessing after this? I mean, the thousands that got saved because of his ministry. The second important phrase, and we're going to run out of time on this one probably, but that's found in Luke 22:61, is the phrase "looked upon." The phrase "looked upon" is found 19 times in Scripture, and you all have your little cheat sheet, and you'll know the number 19 is the number of faith. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God, as Hebrews 11:6 tells us. So when the Lord looked upon a situation in Scripture, we find in the Scriptures that follow his divine resolution to a remedy to the situation according to his will. Go to Genesis 6, and this one's might be a little tough, but we'll look at it. We're going to look at some examples when God looked upon a situation in the Word of God. And the first one we're going to read about, and we're not going to read about that many, but it's in Genesis 6:12, and it says, "God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And in the Scriptures that follow, we find how eight people of the family of Noah were spared from the flood that destroyed the rest of all men from the face of the earth. And down the road a few centuries, go to Exodus 2, we find the children of Israel were afflicted in the land of Egypt. And we read the following looked upon statements. We'll read two of them. One's found in Exodus 2:25. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And this is when God began to deliver them from the land of bondage. Then in Exodus 4:31, it says, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Told you we'd run out of time. We'll get back to this thought next time. Study these scriptures and you'll get some benefit out of it. Thanks for your attention.